It's good to see all of your faces. There's some faces here that I haven't seen in a long time. And it's good to see everybody after so many years. I'm here with my wife, Sister Carol, and our daughter, Madeline, back there. We just spent a week at the Bible Student Youth Camp. That was our first time that we have been there ourselves, as well as with Madeline. And it was a wonderful, it's as good as I have always heard it being, and met a lot of Ludwinkas, Hacks, Larsons, and they're all there. We put a lot of pieces together. We'd like to bring the love of the Antioch Bible students. They consist of Brother Allen and Sister Kathy Ross, Brother Dennis and Sister Karen Long. Brother Dennis is my natural brother. Brother Larry and Sister Ellen Roberts. Sister Ellen is my mother. Brother Ray and Sister Dawn Farrar from Oregon that join us via Skype. Sister Cheryl Nimi from Canada joins us via Skype. Sister Marie Murchie from Canada joins us via Skype. And Brother Merv and Sister Linda Honecker from Canada as well. And they join us via Skype. And of course, Carol and Madeline who are here. So let's go ahead and begin. If you could ask the Lord for 100% measure of one attribute, what do you think you would ask him for? Now, I say 100% measure. And you can see what we're going to be talking about here, right? So it'd be a toss-up between, for me, it'd be a toss-up between 100% wisdom and 100% peace. Because there's so many things in our world that rob us of our peace, huh? We have to grab it back. So peace is defined as to be a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, calmness, repose. God has a tranquil mind, calm, undisturbed, and never agitated, nor even wearied, nor perplexed by any of the cares of his vast dominion. Yet his perfect peace of, this perfect peace of God, the scriptures show, is not due either to the fact that there are no disorders in his vast dominion, nor yet to any stoical indifference to pain or pleasure, but rather to that perfect poise of his glorious attributes, which makes him master of his situation as sovereign of the whole universe. He is never confused, bewildered, perplexed, anxious, or careworn, nor in the least fearful that his plans will miscarry or his purposes fail, because all power and wisdom inhere in him. God created his creatures, including man, in his own likeness, with the same mental and moral attributes, so that he might have communion and fellowship with them as sons, and they with him as a father, that thus, in mutual fellowship and communion, the Creator and the creature might find pleasure, happiness, delight, and peace. But man fell into sin and lost this relationship with his Creator, and, as a result, lost the peace that comes with being reconciled to God. The world we live in lacks peace in every sense. The nations of earth are often at war with one another. The people of the earth do not have peace of mind. They are fretful, nervous, and worry just about everything. Although you and I cannot always enjoy 100% peace because we too are in the fallen condition, the scriptures inform us that the Christian can have not only peace with God, but the peace of God. But how can anybody have peace with God, and what does it mean to have the peace of God? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we're making a distinguishment between those two. Peace with God, peace of God. We're going to start with the peace with God. Okay? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To have come into a condition of peace with God means that one has become reconciled to God. This implies a former condition of alienation, of enmity through wicked works. Peace with God then means that this estrangement from God is a thing of the past, and that the estranged one is now in harmony with God, that he has turned, the one who is in harmony with God, that he has turned his back upon sin and is seeking to walk in the paths of righteousness. So we just wanted to look up a couple of words from the Greek. And I should have put how many scriptures were translated from this word, but I didn't do that. But here's a definition from Strong's Greek 1515. I think it's pronounced Eirene, and it's a feminine noun. That's important to note whether it's a noun or a verb. I've appreciated that over the years, the type of word that it is. So the definition is of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. And also the second definition would be harmony and concord. There's some other definitions to peace. I think there were some brought out today. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, Isaiah 26:3. The prophet is referring to a class who have gone further than the condition of peace with God. Okay, now we're talking about the peace of God. He is speaking of a class who have come into possession of the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And we understand that to be surpasses human understanding, right? As the Apostle Paul declares, this peace can come only to those who have given themselves unreservedly to God, their time, their talents, their influence, their life, their all. These have a peace that none others can know. This peace of God rules the heart even amid turmoil and trouble. It is an inward tranquility and rest, which is the direct result of a close personal relationship of the soul with God. It is the peace of God because it is a peace that God only can give, a peace which only his very own can fully know. And I think the world, I don't know if I heard it here or if it was at the camp, that the world is constantly trying to find that peace in, I think, sports and just keeping their mind occupied. But we all know that you will never have a true peace with an alienation from God. Okay? We all know that. This is an interesting one. Oh, I have to coordinate here. Okay, so we're all familiar with this word, Strong's from the Hebrews 79:65, shalom. It's a masculine noun as well. It means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, safety, health, peace, and typically from war. And I don't know, you probably know this, some of you anyway, that does anybody know how most Israelis answer the phone? They say shalom, peace, peace unto you. You know, we say hello, they say shalom. And you know what the Arabs say? Just a little salam, indicating that they are brothers. Shalom and salam. Okay. We're going to have this poem read, Peace, Perfect Peace, by Sister Carol Long.
Peace, perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrow surging round, on Jesus' bosom naught but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, mid suffering's keenest throes, the sympathy of Jesus brings repose. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping, we are safe and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. It is enough. Earth's struggle soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace.
Thank you, Sister Carol. Peace, perfect peace. Appreciate that poem. Let's see here. Not our own peace, but the peace of God, the peace which comes through a realization of God's power, his goodness and willingness to hold us by his right hand as his children. The lives of God's people should in every case be living epistles known and read of all men, especially by their own families. Thought that was kind of interesting. Because that's where we're at most of the time, right? With our own families and the family of God. Those lives should testify not only to the completeness of the consecration to the Lord, but also to the peace and joy and comfort resulting. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be ye thankful. Colossians 3:15. Your being a living epistle without a single word of exhortation will be powerful in its lessons to all those directly under your influence. Additionally, at a suitable time, it would be proper to intimate to your family, friends, and neighbors the comfort and joy, peace, and blessing which you have received through a full acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of his word, and what pleasure it would be to you to see your dear ones similarly blessed, comforted, and spiritually healed. March 1st manna, the peace of God, and it's the scripture here, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. It is not our own peace that is here referred to. It is the peace of God, the peace which comes to us from a realization of God's power and goodness and willingness to hold us by his right hand as his children. The thought is that this peace stands guard continually as a sentinel to challenge every hostile or worrying thought or fear. It keeps the Christian's mind so that he at heart has peace with the Lord, fellowship, communion, and it guards his mind also, his reasoning faculties, instructing him and assuring him respecting the divine power and wisdom and love. And when we were picked up at the airport in Indianapolis by Tom Ruggiero. Is that how you pronounce it? Okay, I think I got it right. And we were talking about this subject, and he shared with me some thoughts, and I wrote down a scripture that he shared with me, Hebrews 4:3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. But see, we're not entering into our own rest, are we? We're entering into God's rest, right? And in his power and wisdom. And I'll just share with you real quick, I'm going to digress just a second. When I was a senior in high school, and I'll try to make this as brief as possible, coming into the truth and learning things about God, my mindset was back in the 80s. That's how I was an 80s kid, and that's when Reagan was in office. I was 100% sure this world was going to be annihilated by a nuclear war. Do you remember all that nuclear war stuff? I was sure. What's the point in going on? What's the point of college? What's the point? We're all going to be annihilated. It doesn't even matter. That's what I believed. And there's a difference between saying, I believe in God, right? There's a lot of people that say, I believe in God. But when my grandmother gave me that first volume and I was reading it in the study hall, I read a scripture that said, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was before, but afterwards it shall never be again. That was the first time in my life that not just believing in God, but believing in his power, that there is a creator that is ruling this universe, that has everything under control, and I have never been afraid of that since that day. So that peace has come over me in that respect. And I'm very thankful, because fear hath torment, right? Okay. I think we're on to the next slide here. Okay. Okay. So what I thought we'd throw something, I think, very wonderful into this mix. So I contacted three specific brethren and asked them if they would answer these questions in about 5 minutes, no longer than 7 minutes. And the brethren are Brother Jim McClugan, Brother Bill Davis, and Sister Pam. And we'll start with Brother Jim, and then later on we'll come to Brother Bill and Sister Pam. Okay? So they're going to tell us. we started with a scripture that we thought might sort of prompted the question. The scripture is Psalms 34:14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. So question one is, how have you sought peace, Brother Jim, and pursued peace throughout your consecrated walk? In just a minute, we'll just go through all of them. Psalms 29:11. Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Brother Jim, how has the peace of God blessed and strengthened you over the years?
Get to that.
Okay. Last one, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Brother Jim, what are some tools you use to keep your mind stayed on the Lord? Brother Jim.
Well, I kind of thought that's what you wanted, but others thought I should do a practical experience how we respond through our life's experiences. And there was one experience that was very profound for me. And a lot of times you're developing and having peace that you don't even realize that you're working in and through that. So looking back, you see that the experience you exemplified peace in your own heart. And here was the experience. Here I'm working for a company now from 1960 all the way to 2011. And our bank that carried all of our business went bankrupt. And because of that, the federal regulators would come in, and they are not interested in keeping your business open. They're only interested in liquidating the whole project and, you know, your whole livelihood. Now, I'm into this business for like 51 or 2 years in 2011. So we had all this work contracted for. But yet, if you've ever been in business, you buy materials, we're in the flooring, you know, floor covering business, and you've got to pay for that, and it might be months before you get paid yourself. So we limped along for a while. And in 2012, what we were looking at is I could see that we're having such difficulty in paying our suppliers, because we were never getting paid on time and couldn't get a credit line. So I was looking ahead, and I thought, gosh, this is about July. I said, we can't continue to do this for very much longer. And so I thought, probably 3-4 months, I'm not sure what would happen. And so as I mulled over that, I thought, well, it is the Lord. Let him do it seemeth good. Here I'm already 70, and I'm still working. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just trusting in you. If we close the business down, I'm good with it. If we continue on, I'm still good with it too. So that brought me a comfort. Right after that, my boss emailed me, and he said, hey, I want to meet with you for a brunch and to go over a job. And I'm thinking, he's never done that before. He's never asked me that. So we go, and he says, he started talking. He says, now here's the reason why I'm really calling or talking to you. He says, my cousin and I There were two different businesses. They had been apart for 19 years, throwing grenades back and forth from one to another, trying to outbid each other in jobs. His mother died. Okay. My boss, his cousin, his aunt had died, and he reached out to him, you know, trying to comfort him. And because of that, there was a, you might say, a recovery process going on, and he says, here's what I want to talk to you about. We're going to merge companies. And I thought, he says, what do you think of that? I said, I wouldn't have dreamed of that in a million years, you know. And so here's the experience there. I was willing, because I knew whatever God's plans and purposes were, it brought me peace. So that was the practical experience. Now, getting to your questions, okay, the Apostle Peter really must have been paying attention, because this says, depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. Well, the Apostle Peter said, shun evil, do good, seek peace, and eschew it. Same thing. He must have been paying attention to that Old Testament writing. And it was brought out a couple times in the last discourse, do good unto all men as you have opportunity, but especially to the household of faith. So the thought is, how have I sought and pursued peace throughout my consecrated walk? Now, this is my consecrated walk. It's not yours. It's mine. Okay. And there was a talk that a brother gave, and in that talk, the comment was made, always look for what? The good. Always look for the good. And to me, that always has stuck with me for a long, long time. Now, it's easy to find fault. You know, we are all born into sin and sometimes shapen in our experiences where we've inherited fault-finding disposition. Now, what's easier, to find fault or to find good? Well, it's harder to find the good, but we must always try that. That's what I'm trying to do, always. It's much easier to be, is it easier to be a peacemaker or to be a troublemaker? I always want to be a peacemaker. It says to, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. If you're a troublemaker, there's no peace in that. You're not bringing peace to anybody or even yourself. So this is the rule that I go by. I'm always trying to be a bridge maker, not a fence maker. And so that's how I try to walk in my consecrated walk. So there is no peace of heart if we are not peacemakers. That's a true statement for me. Question two. It says, the Lord will give you strength, it will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Well, just think about that. We want the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. You know, God, if you looking through those reprints that you were looking and speaking from, it spoke of God's peace even in troubled times. He's never agitated or anything like that. And he gave that principle of peace to the Logos, and Jesus portrayed that peace of God in himself, and he gave that peace to you and to me. He says, I pray for these that you that are here, and I also am praying for those who will believe on your word. So you just think about that. My peace, our Lord is telling us, I will give to me. And we're thankful for that. So these are precepts and principles that we're living by. Thou hast kept him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. What are some of the tools? Well, these tools are looking at these scriptures through as precious promises. And not only looking at them, but trying to apply them in my daily experiences in life. And we've had many opportunities to do that very thing. Now, you had mentioned Strong's 1515 as a definition. But what I've always appreciated, it means to join in with or prosperity. How rich are we, brethren, if we have the peace of God? And that's what we always want. We want that peace that surpasses all human understanding. And so faith plays a great part. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that He is and a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. So this is my MO. This is what I try to live by. And I've said this, the brethren probably get tired of me. No negative waves. See? Don't want any negative waves. And so, a good attitude creates altitude. So that's what works for me. So always want to have this good attitude. We can have a bad attitude and that lowers you down, and there is no peace in a bad attitude. I don't want to be a bad attitude here. I want a good attitude. So dear brethren, pray for me as I pray for you that we would always be elevated through the richness of having the peace of God, that legacy given to us from Jesus Himself. My peace I give unto you. He's given that to me, and we try to live by that. Lord bless.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Regarding your experience, there's a lot of people that would have behaved very differently. And when we look out into the world, we see people relying on themselves, and they know that they're on their own. And that's why you get the behaviors. Brother Dave was talking about behave yourself. We don't have to behave that way. Say whatever the Lord wants, that's it. If the business fails, it fails. We'll figure something else out. May not be easy. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but.
That was 6 years ago, and I'm still working, and they don't want me to quit, so.
There you go.
Now, I don't know if there's peace with that, but I probably live with a person who thinks, why don't you quit? No. Hey, I want the Lord to direct
right. My
life in whatever way, shape, or form.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Appreciate that. Okay. Let's sing hymn 233, Peace, Troubled Soul. I think that's the same hymn in both books. Oops, let me advance that. that was supposed to be up while you were singing. Okay. My peace I give unto you, John 14:27. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This was truly a legacy of priceless value, and it is the inheritance of the entire church throughout the age, even unto its close. To the world it may seem that the course of the Christian is far from peaceful, for the Lord's saints often have a stormy voyage. But if our hearts continue to be stayed on Christ by faith, and we do not let go our anchor, we shall be kept through all the tempests of life. However severely we may be tossed, however fiercely the storms may rage. Let's sing Prince of My Peace, 128. And you know what? For the sake of time, let's do one verse. I think we're probably going to be short on time. One verse. Peace of God is not dependent upon the smile of fortune, nor upon physical health, nor upon a host of friends, but it is a peace which abides even when health fails, or poverty comes in, or death steals from us the treasures of our hearts. It is a peace which none of the changes and vicissitudes of this life can take from us, and which enemies are powerless to touch. What gift so rich could our Father give to His children? In order to enjoy this perfect peace, we must have unswerving trust in our Father's love and abiding faithfulness. We rejoice further to know of the wondrous provisions for the whole world in the future. All these things form a firm basis for peace and joy and confidence in the Lord. But our peace is proportionate to our constancy, our staying qualities. No one can retain this peace, of God, whose mind is not stayed or fixed on God. It is not a peace of recklessness nor of sloth, but a peace begotten of God Himself through His promises, which we have made our own. It is dependent also upon our full obedience to the Lord. It is the peace of Christ. My peace. This peace and the faith which inspires it can look up through its tears with joyful expectancy for the glorious fruition of our hopes, which God has promised, and of which our present peace and joy are but a foretaste. We're going to ask Brother Bill Davis to I have to scroll here and scroll there, and sometimes I forget to do that. We have the same questions, and we're just going to turn it over to you, Brother Bill.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Gave this some thought, and I thought, well, geez, it's not such an easy thing to pinpoint, but it's such a broad topic. You could talk about this forever and all the influences in your life that after consecration have led you down this path of peace of God. And I can remember early on in consecration, this brother over here, I asked him if he wouldn't do a discourse on this very topic, because that was something that was of paramount importance to me. When I was around the brethren before consecration, I just saw something about them that I wanted. And it was that contentment. It was that peace. It was that solitude. It was that comfort that they had with God. And I wanted the same. And in answer to the questions, I just jotted down a couple of thoughts, and then I'll close with a brief experience. I found that question one, in pursuing peace for me, it's keeping the flesh under. It's keeping my anxieties in the background and allowing the Lord to work in my life and to look for those providences and then meditate upon those and realize, yes, that was God's hand directing that. That was God's love being shown to me in this situation. And that has brought me untold experiences that, you know, I think we're all like this, we tend to miss those experiences unless we're looking for them. So I found that's a very important part of my Christian walk, to look for the God's leadings. And also, it's very important to let go of those past experiences, those resentments that you might harbor, those failures that you've experienced in your life. And a pastor, I don't remember where I read this, but the pastor pretty much says that in those words, to keep those experiences buried. And is it possible to do that all the time? No. But if we keep our minds stayed on Christ, then it's going to be a lot more possible. And I've also found it very important to keep myself out of the way. This old flesh, like Sister Gail Grabner says, she had this dream one time where you take this old flesh, and she took that old flesh and she tied it, put it on a chair, and she tied it up. So you want to keep that constantly out of your path and let the Lord, again, looking for those leadings. And how has the peace of God blessed me or strengthened me over the years? When you're in that state of communion with God through meditation, prayer, study, you can step back from your experiences when you're allowing Him to lead, I found, and not anxiously anticipate what's ahead, but again, keeping yourself out of the way and letting the Lord lead, then there's that peace that allows you then to take that proper course. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells us, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And again, it's realizing our undoneness and our humility should be foremost, and our modesty, as our manna talked about today. We should always be of that mind that I'm useless. Lord, I am nothing without you. And again, that takes you out of the way and allows the Lord to dominate your life. Some of the tools of keeping the world at bay, to keep your mind stayed on the Lord, is keeping the world at bay. And how do you do that? Well, we know we're in the world, but not of the world. So I try to limit my exposure to the news broadcasts and all the negatives that come along with that. In fact, Pam and I cut our cable connection. We no longer have cable in the house, because that's all you get is the negatives on that. And so you can get a much more peaceful attitude when you're looking at more pleasant things on television. And there's a lot of good things, you know, that we have available to us through the Bible students' literature, through the videos through the Bible students, through these convention programs. There's all kinds of things we can be replacing those things with that will give you more peace in your life. And Romans 8:6 tells us, you know, for the carnal mindedness is death. And so to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So again, it's the same thought, the same idea, to constantly keep our minds elevated above what we see going on around us. And a lot of the brethren in our class think I'm pretty different than that. I get up bright and early, and I go to bed early. But I get up bright and early, and I start my day with study and meditation and prayer. I find that is the perfect way for me to get my mind stayed on those things above and allow that peace then to permeate and begin my day in that attitude of heart and mind. And reprint 3062, Brother Russell writes, "True peace and joy in the Lord are to be found in humility of heart and closeness to the Master." So again, following the pattern, as you said, keeping our wills under. I'd use up all my time.
Maybe one more minute.
Well, I'll just close with nothing. Just let it go at that. But anyway.
I wasn't keeping track, but it's probably been about 5 minutes. So.
Okay. We can talk about an experience on the side if anybody wants to talk about it.
Okay.
Lord bless.
So it sounds like your theme is peace through selflessness. Thank you for that. We're going to have Sister Janelle, if you don't mind taking the microphone over there, read this poem.
A Perfect Trust. O blessed peace of a perfect trust, my loving God in thee, unwavering faith that never doubts thou choosest best for me. Best though my plans be all upset, best though the way be rough, best though mine earthly store be scant, in thee I have enough. Best though my health and strength be gone, though weary days be mine, shut out from much that others have, not my will, Lord, but thine. And e'en though disappointments come, they too are best for me, to wean me from a clamoring world and lead me nearer thee. O blessed peace of a perfect trust that looks away from all, that sees thy hand in everything, in great events or small, that hears thy voice, a father's voice, directing for the best. O blessed peace of a perfect trust, a heart with thee at rest.
I must admit that last stanza. Thank you, Sister Janelle. Appreciate that. We are not to be at peace with the flesh. Brother Bill was talking about that, but always at warfare with it. Yet there is a peace in the Lord that is born of faith in him and in his promises. He has promised us grace sufficient. He has promised that we shall not be overcome through having trials and difficulties that are too great for us. We are assured that we shall have the victory if we trust in his strength. This gives us a rest and peace in all our experiences. Brother Jim, can I ask you to get up one more time? We have a real small quote. I'd like Madeline to read it.
Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing?
Thank you, Madeline. Let's sing one verse of hymn 179. And it's the verse that has that, I think it's verse 3. 1 second here. 179. No, that's the first verse. Okay, so we'll just sing one verse of hymn 179. Testimony will be from our sister that will be talking about these questions. It'll be Sister Pam. And Pam, I hate to do this to you, but can you keep it right at 5 minutes or less? Since we're running out
Let's
of time.
Hope for less. I just wanted to say thank you, Brother Robbie, for these questions, because it was such a wonderful opportunity to go through my walk in the narrow way in reverse. We appreciated it a great deal. So on the first consideration, I lost my notes suddenly. Anyway, How have you sought and pursued peace throughout your consecrated walk? And I would say that really it's the seeking of the truth in those who love it the most. And that has been so important to me. And the experience we just would mention in that regard is the move from North Carolina to Illinois. So we spent about a third of our consecrated walk in North Carolina and most of it in Mahomet. And that has been an amazingly wonderful blessing. And but it doesn't stop there. So now we're retired and we're in a lot more online studies with those who love the truth as much as I think I do. So we appreciate that very much. And how has the peace of God blessed and strengthened you over the years? And to me, this really is the providences of God. It is one of the channels of the Holy Spirit. It is how we become more like God, too, is to see his providences. And we would even say that the providences where you see what his will is a blessing indeed, and we all have those. But the providences where that are really strengthening are where there's no clear indication of what his will is, and we are just so happy to exercise our faith in the Father. We say thank you. Thank you for just showing us how powerful you are. And we just would mention an experience about that. We had we were not in a car accident, although it seemed as though we were trying really hard to get in it. And the Lord overruled, and the other person, the other car was affected. There was someone else that was affected, and why would the Lord do that, you know? And so we appreciated that it's not necessary for us to know why. We just thank the Lord for his power and his might and that he loves us. And then the tools that keep our minds stayed on the Lord, and my favorite tool is personal vows. And we think they're so valuable because any vow it's secondary to our primary vow, so it has to be in harmony with it. And then it's a vow to God. He has to approve it. And so you have to look for that. And we really appreciated that. And our biggest experience in that way was the care of my mother. And, you know, just like anyone that has that experience, it always seems really clear who the one is. And once I was the one, I was very nervous and I was very bungling about it and not doing things very well. And so we took it to the Lord in prayer and we made this vow. And that is the essence of peace, because everything is off your shoulders. It's entirely in the Lord's hands, and we really appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Robbie.
Thank you, Sister Pam. Appreciate those thoughts, and I'm sure everybody here does as well. Let's see here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, in stinted measure or in perishable quality, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Thus, with abounding compassion and tenderness, did our Lord, on the last night of his earthly life, bestow upon his beloved disciples this parting blessing, his legacy of peace. It was the richest legacy he had to bequeath, and was one of priceless value. It was the promise of that tranquility of soul, that rest and ease of mind, which he himself possessed, the peace of God. It was the same peace which the Father himself has always enjoyed, even in the midst of all the commotion which the permission of evil has brought about, but it was not derived from the same source. In Jehovah, this peace was self-centered, because he realized in himself the omnipotence of power and wisdom, while the peace of Christ was centered not in himself, but in God. By faith in his wisdom, power, and grace, so also, if we would have the peace of God, the peace of Christ, my peace, it must be, like his, centered in God by faith. May the Lord add his blessing. And we'll close with, do we have time to close with the two verses? Okay. How great thou art, last two verses. Okay. What number is that, Brother Jim? 358 in the blue, 365 in the red, right?